Go ahead.
Welcome to Taxi. Taxi is the 20-acre campus that's formerly the Yellow Cab and trucking site that's been transformed over the last 10 years into really a home for new economy, creative high-tech businesses. There's currently 60 creative high-tech businesses here and over 300 jobs. Behind us is the freight building, or in front of us, and really, when we closed on our financing within the last 2 years, the building was a shell that was unused. The wind was blowing through it, and really, it was a difficult time to get financing on a project. But through the support, significantly, of the Office of Economic Development, with the governor as mayor at that point, we were able to build out the project. It's now fully, it opened up fully occupied within the last year with 15 high-tech creative businesses that are really representative of kind of this next chapter of the economy in our minds, and really the future of jobs in the region in a lot of ways. Among the companies are Alpha Data, which is a Edinburgh, Scotland-based hardware microchip manufacturer. They employ 4 or 5 people, relatively small business, but grew from someone's living room and really have some significant plans for future growth. There's First Movement is in Taxi 2. They're started out in a 2-bedroom live-work unit 2 years ago. They're now over 20 employees that occupy over 4,000 feet. And then our newest tenant is a local biotech company, and they manufacture microscopes for the research industry, and really representative of kind of this new generation of firms employing over 20 people in that space. So it's a reused diesel garage that got converted into a biotech company. Another important company here that was key to really building out freight was Open Air Academy, and they have capacity for up to 110 kids, and really representative of kind of the amenity features that we're providing that are attracting some of these new economy firms, which is really trying to maintain that balance between life and work, and really of the highest caliber, providing a brand new facility that's kind of key to kind of the future growth for the site. So we're excited that the governor recognizes this new generation of companies and has chosen Taxi and Freight to really launch his program, and look forward to collaborating with us, with the governor, on his efforts however possible.
Thank you, Colin. I feel like I've been following the Zeppelins around pretty much my whole professional career. His father was one of the real early pioneers in lower downtown. A lot of our planning for building the Wine Brewing Company happened in the City Spirit Cafe, which was one of the most beautiful and eclectic gathering places in the city. And just as Mickey anticipated that progress and what lower downtown could become, he recognized in this strip of land here, and Mayor Hancock spoke yesterday about this 22-mile corridor between the airport and downtown, and how inviting it should be for development and for emerging technologies and emerging technology companies. Government's never going to do it all. It takes people like Mickey and Kyle Zeppelin and their team to really do the hard work on the ground to go and meet with these businesses, find out what kind of a space do they want to be in, what are the right dimensions in the architecture, and then make it real. That's probably the one part I miss the most about being, whether I was in the mayor's office or the governor's office. You get to try and put the context in place. And you know, government's not going to solve everyone's problems, but it can really create the environment and the context by which people help to solve their own tree, I'll spend the first four sharpening an axe. Now, first, I'm not sure why it should take six hours to cut down a tree. Four hours is gotta be a remarkable axe that takes 4 hours to sharpen. But I think his point was that you need to, if you want to create a context, if you want to really help people, you know, give them the tools, the axe to cut their own trees down, create their own new careers, you need a certain amount of planning. And that's where I'll hold up, I'll do some visual. That's what this is our draft of Colorado Blueprint, what we call Advancing Colorado. And in it are basically the results of 6 months or 5 months of hard work going out and listening to people in every county. We talked to over 10,000 people. We had over 5,000 people in meetings. We had over 8,000 comments through email and the internet of, you know, what do people see as the real challenges? What are the real opportunities? You know, how are we going to get the state going and really get it back into gear? And we thought, I think we're the, you know, I just came back from the National Governors Association. We're the only state in the country that is approaching it in this inclusive kind of brass tops fashion, really going out there and trying to get the people that are working and have got both feet on the ground, what are their ideas and where do they see the opportunities for government to help? We broke this down into basically six focus areas in the Colorado Blueprint. One is to, on a statewide basis, create a business-friendly environment. One is to recruit, grow, and retain businesses. Another is to make sure we have access to capital. Fourth is to create and market a stronger Colorado brand that we really put forward what the word Colorado means, that it is a place where we are business-friendly, but at the same time hold ourselves to very high standards in terms of protecting our landscapes and the natural beauty that attracted so many people here. Fifth was to educate and train the workforce of the future, and that's a crucial one as this recession has really severed so many jobs. Many of those jobs aren't going to come back. We have to make sure we provide the training and the education so that people can be ready for the jobs that do come back, because they're coming. We met with the Microsoft yesterday. They've got their national conference here in Denver, and they've got 36,000 jobs that they're trying to hire people for all across the country. And there's an issue about finding enough people that are trained and ready for those jobs. And then last is cultivate innovation and technology, and that's why we're here, to make sure this sense of this combination of innovation, which is what, you know, Zeppelin's a hard word to spell, but one way, just don't think about Zeppelin, just think innovation. That brand is very clear. Taking innovation and then using it as a context for technology just makes sense. The fact that in this recession, they could open this building, have, you know, 15 new businesses with whatever, 100 employees, and be basically sold out the day they open. That says something, right? We should be paying attention to that. Before I introduce Dwayne Romero here, I want to also recognize we have a couple centers here, Pat Stedman, Michael Hancock's here, also several of our cabinet members. Kristen Russell is our Secretary of Technology, runs our awesome information technology. Jim Davis of Public Safety, Ken Lund, who's our Chief Counsel, Eric Brown, Director of Communication, Roxanne White, Chief of Staff, Kevin Patterson, our Deputy. I think there probably some other people here I probably missed. Rick Garcia is here. I want to make sure I mention him. I had lunch. I was lucky enough to have lunch with the Secretary of HUD last week, Sean Donovan. We have a long lunch together, and he was effusive. He's not an effusive person, but very complimentary of all the work that Rick's been doing and making sure that HUD is able to implement their programs here. I'll say Michael Johnson again. I'll say Pat Stedman again. Michael Johnson and Pat Stedman again. Can't recognize centers too frequently. So now let me introduce Dwayne Romero, who really, in running our Office of Economic Development, did such a wonderful job of imagine taking this amount of information from so many people and really meeting it and distilling it really to the point where it becomes a blueprint of what we all need to do.
Wonderful stuff. Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming. Thanks to the whole crew. In fact, I see a great many state partners that help to organize and execute on this. This blueprint, from our view, is not the culmination or the end goal of a process and a deliverable. It's frankly the start. It's the start. But it's hinged on literally 6 months of community outreach and active listening and frankly a bit of respectful dialogue with every community and every county across the state. This thing was, as the governor spoke to, this grassroots or grass tops re-outreach is a healthy recognition. It's a healthy recognition that frankly, state leadership, we don't own all the solutions. And in fact, local communities and local economies, frankly, do have a lot of the definition and a lot of the detail, and they own their own initiatives. We have a very important role to understand those initiatives at a local level and to be able to deploy resources in an effective and a very direct way so that we become more active and frankly more successful partners. And all the while we do that, we're hopeful that we elevate the level of trust and confidence between state leadership and local leadership. At the end of the day, we will pull ourselves through this recovery regardless of what's occurring at the national level. The state of Colorado is one of the end goals of this particular plan, will be known as how it bootstrapped its way to its own recovery. It pulled itself through. And you know, this particular construct now has all 64 county voices. Every county participated and produced a summary that was input. Then each of the counties participated in a collaborative form, thank you, to produce 14 regional statements that now ultimately inform and shape our statewide set of initiatives. So what we're most proud of, frankly, is that the authorship and the voice from these local economies and these local communities is articulated here. And as the governor has already identified the six, I will want to underscore you too. Without a doubt, the overarching message that we heard from the local communities is that excessive red tape and this lack of empathy and lack of urgency from state government. So this, in a certain way, attempts to sharpen and refine our own game so that we're more effective and more responsive partners. And then secondly, it's worth underscoring, without a doubt, we heard across every community and every region, access to capital. Access to capital. So this plan attempts to articulate not only several tools and techniques on freeing up equity, but it also focuses on debt lending opportunities and some specific tools and programs that you'll find in the plan itself. So with that and a little bit of an underscore there, I'll wrap up my comments, open up for a little bit of Q&A, perhaps that we have some time available here, and then we're going to roll up the road to Windsor and also to Fort Morgan to connect with those community partners and make sure we launch it right. So again, thanks for everyone, including the partnership team here. Thanks to everyone for being here, and I'll open it up to Q&A.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
In reviewing some of the regional plans and the county plans, they have some very finite, specific numbers about goals and targets. There is not that level of specificity in the state plan as far as this is our target percentage if we'd like to cut job loss or unemployment. Can you tell us why there is not that?
The question was for everyone, down at the county and regional level, there were some specific numbers articulated down at those local economies and those local communities. And that is absolutely a fair comment. We wanted to ensure, though, that the six focal points that we've now kind of landed upon have the broadest reach and the broadest kind of connection and have the greatest ability to kind of advance and accelerate recovery down at the local level.